sponsored by New England Fat Loss, DNA-based programs for maintenance, weight loss, and strength building.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, you ready?
Big Boy Tuesday!
Playoff edition.
Welcome, everybody. Felger Maz on a Tuesday. I mean, we're joined by Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. He's a larger fellow, so it's Big Boy Tuesday, in case you're just joining us for the first time. Does a bang-up job covering the Patriots and the NFL for Boston Sports Journal. Give it a subscription. And I think it's pretty obvious what we're talking about today. NFL, playoff, football, Patriots, Chargers, most notably. You can join us for the next 2 hours, which is when Greg's in. We're in for 4 hours, so join us at any point. But let's just start off talking about that, Greg. What's your first takeaway as we assess Patriots, Chargers this week?
My first takeaway is...
Again, you're surprised that's the question. What do you think I was going to ask you about?
Well, it's not like you script like...
What do you think I was going to ask you
about? You don't ask me the opening question.
But what do you think I was going to ask you about?
It's correct. We don't script the show.
Was I going to ask you about the Seahawks?
Josh McDaniel? No, I don't
know. No, go ahead. Patriots, Chargers.
This is a tough matchup. I mean, I think my bottom line thought on this game is the Patriots are going to need to get a defensive or special team score or some sort of game-changing play. One or two, probably two. To win this game, I think that the Chargers are good. I mean, I tried to look at it in different ways. Advanced analytics, regular stats, all this stuff. Can anybody tell me where the Patriots have an advantage against the Chargers?
Good question.
Other than special teams. I will give them special teams. But outside of that, I mean, the Chargers have the better record.
They're the more balanced. I said this yesterday. If you take out the intangibles... You know, the quote-unquote intangibles,
right.
Mystique,
weather, coaching, home field.
Right, all that, San Diego's a better team. They're a better team. Now, again, I'm not telling you that they're a better team by 10 points, and the game's obviously in Foxborough. The Patriots have some pedigree. But to me, if you said the football, San Diego's better. They're better. I think the Patriots can. It's not your typical Campbell soup, tomato can division round.
Do you concur, Greg?
Yes.
Chargers are better.
They are. I mean, they're the better passing team. They're the better running team. They're the better defensive team. The Patriots have an advantage on special teams. There's no doubt about it, even though I think it's narrowed a little bit. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, looking at this past weekend, I put this tweet out after the games. I said, in 3 out of 4 games, the better passer won. The only one that lost was Russell Wilson.
I think that is so true. That was such
and that's only because the Seahawks didn't let Wilson be Wilson.
It was such a trend over the weekend. Oh, it was so obvious. The quarterback play determined every game. And Seattle, again, exactly. Seattle didn't even let their quarterback beat the other quarterback.
I mean, it was like Brian Schottenheimer thought he was coordinating Mark Sanchez again. And I know that's largely how the Seahawks played this season. You know, it's Russell Wilson and it's the playoffs. And sometimes you have to play a little bit differently. You don't just keep running into the wall over and over again and hope. You know, look, they were a ball control team and we're going to play defense. And hopefully it's a one score game and then Russell Wilson makes the difference. You know, when the talent narrows a little bit, you got to, you know, put it over the top a little bit. And I thought they were way too tight on Wilson. And so if that continues, you'd have to say that Phillip Rivers is the better quarterback this year.
So that's a whopper of a statement to say that you think how the Patriots win is a defensive score, a special team score, something like that, because 95% of the time when we're talking about the Patriots, that's how we're talking about, that's the only way the opponent wins. How do the Patriots lose this ball game? They do something stupid like exactly, you know, pick six the other way. Special teams, you know, something like that. So you're saying that's the Patriots now this week?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's the only way, but I think that's really their path, is that Rivers throws a stupid interception, the Patriots block a punt and turn it over to the offense. I mean, you know, in a lot of these games down the stretch, or a lot of these games this season, I mean, even you know, what game was it? Was it the Buffalo game or the Jets game down the stretch where, you know, the Patriots were at like 24 points offensively, and I think they got to 38 because of a defensive score and a turnover.
Jets game.
Yeah.
It was a Jets game because Van Noy had the touchdown in that game and the other fumble down by like the 10-yard line. So, look, I mean, to me, but I'll tell you what, add in the mystique element of it, the intangibles. Is there a choke factor in this game for San Diego?
Only historically.
Yeah, but of course there is. I mean, but that doesn't matter. Meaning a team that has I think the Chargers are going to win, but I think this is a fair thing. I mean, that's a team that's never gotten over the hump. I mean, can you say the Chargers know how to win yet? They're getting there. That road record in the regular season is really impressive, and some of those wins. And even last week, they went on the road and beat a great defense on the road in the playoffs. So I think they're on their way. But I still think it's fair to ask, does a team know how to win at this level yet?
I mean, look, there are just some uniforms in sports, Greg, that have a lead sewn into them because they're a little heavier when they put them on. And this is one of them. But you tell me, is it a factor? You obviously don't think it is.
I don't think it is. I just think that it's every year's different. And, you know, sort of the way you're playing of late is and the attitude that the team takes on. I mean, like, you know, we would have said the same thing in 2010 about the Jets.
Right.
Who got blasted 45-3 few weeks earlier.
Absolutely.
And we did. And so I just don't think, to me, all that stuff is nice to talk about, and I'm sure there will be a lot of talk about. To me, it's about the football, it's about execution, it's about all that stuff. And I think there are some things that the Chargers do or will do, and I just posted a column about how I think it's really bad for the Patriots that the Chargers just faced the Ravens twice in 3 weeks.
Okay.
I mean, one of the league's best defenses.
Okay, so why is that bad?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're used to trying to operate against a really good defense.
So you think they're going to – so it's – they're going to get out there and be like, boy, these guys are open. Meaning, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Philip, it's like who was that Eagle who said when we played the Vikings, we looked out there and said, boy, they got a lot of players. And then we looked out at the Patriots 2 weeks later and said, boy, they got a lot of coaches.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson. Right?
But I've talked about it. I don't have a problem with the Patriots defense. Like, I think they'll be fine. I think on both sides of the ball right now, the Patriots, you know, against an average team or a low to mid 20s team on both sides of the ball. You know, so will that be good enough that week against that opponent? I don't know.
Okay, but you're saying, again, the Chargers having faced the Ravens does help them this week.
Yeah, and the big thing is, and I got more specific in the column, but the big thing is the Chargers were sacked 4 times and Rivers was pressured like 64% of the time in the first matchup that they lost, like 22-10. And so what happened was the Ravens exposed these flaws in the Chargers' protection, and you know the Chargers had no answers in that game, and it's something like if that the Patriots could have exploited. So they played them in week 16. They come back this last week. The Ravens had showed them their flaws. They had them all covered up,
tightened
in
them
this
up.
Game. They only had one sack. The pressure rate was like in half. Like, you know, there were a lot of things that the Chargers did a lot more things. And the thing is, the Ravens run basically the same third down package that the Patriots do. This amoeba stand around, walk the linebackers up, who's coming, who's not. Ravens run the exact same thing, and they run it better because they have better players.
This might explain the conservative approach by San Diego in that game.
Oh,
right?
No question. Yeah. I mean, you know, I hear people sort of ripping the Chargers. Well, they didn't do this. What was the score most of the game? I mean,
there was 20 points.
It was like 12-0, 20-0. Like, what? Why would you air it out? The only thing that was going to hurt you were turnovers, like the one that the tight end had.
Okay, that's point one. Okay, yeah, there's a couple. Here's a second one that I want you to expound on quickly. X's and O's. What does this come down to? Patriots offense versus the Chargers defense.
Can the Patriots run and will they run against the sub packages? Because basically the Chargers are a sub package team. And how many years have we gotten to the end and we've talked about how the other team's playing coverage and the Patriots didn't make them respect the run?
So again, just to translate, sorry. Sub packages, they're bringing in
multiple defensive backs.
So defensive backs, lighter players. They're bringing in safeties instead of linebackers. Sometimes the last week they were playing with one linebacker for a lot of it. And there the approach was to counteract the speed of Lamar Jackson. But typically you're going to do that because you're playing a passing offense and the Pats go five wide. So you bring out five defensive backs and you go sub. You don't let the Patriots run their slot receivers against linebackers. You put defensive backs out there to cover them up. So you're saying in the past, when teams have gone nickel and dime on the Patriots for 60 minutes, the response is, or what typically happens?
In the postseason, the Patriots try to run it early. Usually they're not effective. Then they just junk it, and they put it on Brady's lap, and he has to throw against, you know, six, seven, eight defensive backs out there, and he just... he can't do it, you know, when teams are that good. I mean, it's no fault of his. It's just, you know, what are you going to do? You have five receivers and there's like seven guys in coverage. What are you going to do?
So
you have to make them respect the run.
You got to run the ball against that sub defense.
You have to.
Can they do it?
I think so. But look, the Ravens tried that Chargers defensive line, and they didn't even have Brandon Meebane.
They're good.
Who's one of the best run defenders in the league. His daughter has been dealing with she's been in the hospital, and she's been dealing with an emergency issue, so he didn't play last week. I don't know what the status of that is this week, but they didn't even need him. They had four defensive linemen, and they handled the Ravens' offensive line. Now, the Patriots' offensive line is better than the Ravens. So that's where it's got to be the offensive line and Sony Michel and James White and Rex Burkhead. They have to be balanced. They have to make the Chargers respect the run, or else they're in big trouble.
And then Brady against the nickel, you don't like it.
Brady's going to have to... they pressured the heck out of him last year when they played. I mean, Nate Solder and
Marcus Cannon and the Chargers.
Nate Solder, Marcus Cannon, Adrian Waddle, because Cannon got hurt during that game. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram just worked the heck out of the tackles. And Brady was under pressure the whole time. He did a nice job getting rid of the ball, but that was a different Tom Brady with different targets. And do I have the same level of confidence in this group? No.
So a great example of this would be the Jets game in 2010, right?
Yep.
Where they went nickel and just clogged everything up. They went light, and the Patriots tried to throw against it in the first half and then run against it in the second. And by that point, that was the drive to nowhere. Copyright Robert Neumeier.
And I think it was 16 plays, 49 yards, something.
Yeah, right. So like that's an example of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Patriots have to be able to run the ball effectively. They have to be about 50-50. We've seen it at times, but against a good defense, we haven't seen it all that much.
Okay, so the first point, I want you to try and enunciate again, because now Jimmy's back there, and Jimmy, we're rolling on Greg, and we'd like to replay your sound. And if
here we go.
What I actually suggested to Mike off the air was, we want to take your stories and just have you read them so that we have your sound of your story.
So that's what we're going to have to do if you don't say this properly, because
because your headlines are great and your stories are mediocre depending on the day.
I just want you to say certain things that you write so we have the audio of it. Jimmy has it wrong. The way you say it and write it, even in your emails or on Boston Sports Journal, is terrific. The delivery, we need you to nail so we can replay it.
Ask better questions.
And if you don't...
you're a talk show host. Ask better questions.
If you don't nail the delivery, then I've got to read it.
Or deliver it better as a guest.
So let's just
ask better questions.
Okay, this isn't a question. This is a order.
I'll deliver it for you if you want.
You said in your email, and it starts off like this. Let's just see if you can duplicate it. Can you find any fact-based reason? Okay, so that's how you start the statement. Now complete the statement. Go ahead and start from the top.
Can you find any fact-based reason why the Patriots should be favored over the Chargers in this game? What?
That's average. Here's what you wrote. Can you find any fact-based reason? Take out history, weather, home field, ghosts, whatever. Give me one fact-based reason why the Patriots are better than the Chargers, because I can't. Where? Tell me, where are the Patriots better than the Chargers this season? Special teams? Maybe, is the only thing I can find. Seriously, though? Anything else? That's what you wrote.
That's why I'm a writer.
So
I love it.
So work on it. Maybe going back and we can record it. We'll do different takes because the replay I want nailed. Anyway, let's talk.
I feed those things so you can say them.
So that we can just read it. Maz can read it even. We can do.
Yeah, this is Bedard.
Greg, he's never satisfied. Believe me. I start talking. I'll just read the email.
No, it's the same thing. Murray comes in hot on those emails, man. He's either caffeinated in the morning or high as a kite the night before. Either way, he nails those emails. And then you come in and it's like.
See, Greg, I'm the opposite. I get better on game day.
Exactly. All right, anyway, to your phones with Bedard right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Hi, my name is Ed Bouchard. As a middle-aged guy, I really started to struggle with my weight. I started wasting money on gyms, all sorts of different diets, and finally I found New England Fat Loss. And one of the things that I like is they have a MetaboFix phone app that keeps me right on course. Every morning I weigh in, and if I don't see my results, I actually have somebody coaching me that sends me a text stating, hey, look, you better have some more proteins or add water. In just 40 days, I'm down 30 pounds. I feel good, and my confidence is back. New England Fat Loss makes it convenient for me, and it makes me disciplined.
New England Fat Loss.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
The Chargers' defense in general is the best group we've played all year. Their defensive front is extremely disruptive, create a lot of issues for you with their penetration. You know, they're disruptive in the running game and create negative plays, which puts you into second and third and long, which they excel at. And then they can create, you know, a ton of problems then with their pass rush. So this is a tremendous challenge. We're excited to get an opportunity to compete in this game. This is the best team we've played all year.
All right, that was Josh McDaniels today on the Chargers. We'll get to the Josh McDaniels coaching stuff later on with Bedard in our 10 questions. Do you agree with that sentiment, by the way, before I go to the phones, Greg? Is this the best team they've faced all year?
The best defense? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, they played the Vikings and...
The Bears.
And the Bears, but Mac wasn't healthy that game.
Kansas City?
Defense? No, so Greg...
But I think, overall, from front to back, yeah, I think this is the best. This is the best unit.
It feels like the most balanced team they've played all year.
For sure. No question about it. All right, to your thoughts with Bedard. Joe in the car. Hi, Joe.
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple quick comments. So the Chargers have the 24th easiest schedule strength of schedule for the season. Patriots have the 22nd. So, of course, they're going to have a little bit better of stats. And I'm pretty sure that...
Wait. Joe, can I just... Strength of schedule, Chargers were 24th and the Pats were 22nd?
Yes. The Chargers have an easier schedule.
Hold on.
By two spots. Like, this is a big deal. Go ahead.
According to Football Outsiders, their efficiency ratings, the Chargers had the 14th most difficult schedule. New England had the 25th.
But you guys are cute. Joe, you're cute. You are. I'd like to come over there and pat you on the head. Like
everybody,
a Celtic,
everybody's panties are in a wad this week.
Celtic fan. Because I don't know what he's going on or metrics he's going on. Because the Patriots had the 22nd hardest schedule. The Chargers had the 24th.
How can you say that when they finished 12-4 and second in their own effing division?
Of course. So the Chargers...
That had two playoff teams.
Success is misleading. Hold on. Joe, I'm sorry. So that's established. The Chargers' success is misleading because they had an easier schedule. Go. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. You're still on. Sorry. That was my fault.
Yeah, Greg got the stat at footballoutsiders.com. This guy got it at patshonk.com.
Get it where you want to get it.
Patshonk.com. Honk, honk.
Get it wherever you want to get it. I meant to let him finish, but I did have to stop. I just had to stop and clarify what was going on there. Anthony on Cape Cod. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing? These stats are from profootballreference.com. So the thing about the road team from the West Coast playing the 1 o'clock East Coast game. All right, so it's, and I also just want to just touch on the Pats Chargers quickly.
Just be quick.
So you've got, first of all, the only AFC teams are basically San Diego and Oakland who even qualify. So it's all San Diego, and they've done it every time. So in 07, they beat the Colts, which isn't an East Coast team, but they're a Central team, very close.
No, you've already gone outside the sample.
Okay, but listen, that's
going to the Central Division. That's going to the Central time zone. Sorry. Is Indy sometimes Indy's Indianapolis is weird. Indiana's weird. It splits right down the middle of the state, and sometimes they're, or they used to be.
No, right.
I'm not doing this, Anthony. Get to the finish line.
I just wanted to mention that because it was an impressive win by the Chargers.
Okay? So what are you saying?
They were an 11-point dog in that game, and they beat the Colts with Peyton Manning in 07.
Okay.
Then they beat Cincinnati. The Chargers were a 6-point dog in 13. They beat Cincinnati. And then this year they beat Baltimore. And the West.
So I have a different set. Please, I don't want to do this right now.
Indianapolis is Eastern, by the way.
Okay. It used to be Central, but they go back or they whatever. I don't want to talk about that because I have a whole different list of West Coast teams traveling East. And the games the guy was talking about, none of them are on my list except for last week, except for the one on Sunday. So I'm sorry, Anthony. Get to your other point quickly.
Okay. Your list is wrong and mine's right. But the point is that's no factor at all. Now, Bedard's 100% right. They got to run the ball. They got to get the ball out to James White, short passing game, and it's about turnovers. The Patriots, that's the advantage. They have a much better turnover differential than San Diego.
Turnovers don't translate in the postseason. They had a better turnover ratio than the Jets in 2010, and they got it shoved down their throats. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The turnover thing does. And the other thing is it's obvious. If you turn the ball over, you're going to lose.
But is that true, Greg, that the turnover issue doesn't translate to the postseason?
Point.
I'm basing it on the past discussions we've had about this topic. That, like, for example,
you can't live on turnovers.
No, in 2010, the Patriots didn't turn the ball over at all. Brady threw 4 interceptions all year. First series against the Jets, he turns it over. The other thing is, if you have a plus turnover differential and a great one, you say, well, they force turnovers. Do you? Or are you just playing crap bag teams that turn the ball over constantly? Like, I think it's deceiving. Now, turnovers are important. We all know that. But just because you're good at creating turnovers doesn't mean you're going to get them in the postseason.
That's correct.
That's my point.
But one thing I do want to say sort of on that point is that, you know, from watching the Chargers film in the past couple of days, one thing that stands out, and you can't quantify this, so I can't say, okay, this is where the Patriots have an edge. But the Chargers are pretty... they're pretty loose. They make a lot of unforced mistakes in terms of blocking execution. Like the first play of the game that they ran against the Ravens. I forget which wide receiver it was. I think it was Mike Williams. Just runs a go down the field. They probably repped this play like 50 times. And he just runs a go where Rivers wanted him to run an out. And you see him at the end of the play like raise up his hands like, dude, run an out. There are a lot of plays like that. So, you know, if the Patriots can play like tight, perfect ball, then they're going to have an edge. But we haven't seen them really do that.
How do you feel about Anthony Lynn? I can't get a read on him.
I don't have much of a read on him. All I know is, you know, he comes from the Parcells tree. He was there in New York and Buffalo with Rex. So you think that he knows a little bit about how to take on the Patriots and the things you need to do. But I don't know whether he's going to do it.
We've got Thomas and Wellesley. Go ahead, Tom.
Good afternoon, guys. My point, reason I called in is because you guys said, what area do the Patriots have an advantage? And came up with nothing big, but I got one. Coaching. Game planning. They can study the Ravens games. And this is playoff smash mouth football.
Okay, well, you just said two different things. Okay, everyone studies the other opponent. And it's smash mouth football. You said coaching, advantage over the Chargers. We did leave that off the list, Greg, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I don't know how big of an advantage that is. I mean, yes, Belichick, you know, his history, all that stuff, decision making. Sure, he has an edge on Anthony Lynn. He has a couple good coordinators who have experience. They're not, you know, they're no rookies. But the big thing is I kind of lost my faith in the Patriots last year in the Super Bowl with all that. I mean, how long? They had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. How many times did we talk about that they're going to need to stop Zach Ertz on third and fourth down? And what happened in the game? They live with Zach Ertz, you know, and couldn't cover him. And, you know, the whole Malcolm Butler stuff, you know, I don't have the faith that's as big a difference maker as it was in the past. I don't think it is anymore.
Well, we can clip that one, Jimmy. We don't even have to edit that. There we go. Could put that in we would have to put that in the Felger-Mazz take processor.
Thank
it's
God.
Very concise. Great.
Nope.
Good job.
Concise, hard hitting, going to piss people off. Checks all the boxes.
Yeah. You even sounded a little angry.
It's perfect.
You had tone.
Outstanding. We'll revisit that in the 5 o'clock.
Well, I mean,
hour.
It's like, it's stuff like that. And also, you know, I was talking with somebody on Twitter today and they're like, well, Brady can get magical for 3 games. Really? When has he done that this season? When has he had one magical game outside of three against good defenses? Come on.
We've got a second one.
This is good. It's like Greg Bedard's greatest hits.
Ask me good questions. A host asks good questions, knows what buttons to push.
I didn't even ask a question there. You just decided to bring it.
Greg, I got news for you. Mike's the best host in the market.
Debatable. I guess talk radio show host producers are sensitive this time of year, too. Why don't you pipe down back there?
Everyone's sensitive this time of year.
Jeez.
Isn't it great?
Re-entry.
Everyone's back is up. Everyone's like sniping. It's great.
It's a playoff season.
Oh, I love it. I just absolutely adore it. It's tremendous, especially because you Patriots fans are so easy. Oh, my God, you're easy. I thought Celtics fans were easy. I forgot about you people. Wow.
Pantywad week.
What a easy mark you folks are. We will continue with you, but first we're going to do three up, three down from Wild Card Weekend with Bedard right after an update. And there was news on Josh McDaniels in the last 24 hours. Turns out he's not going to Green Bay. Turns out he's not going anywhere. He'll explain why in his own words right here in the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you have a health flex spending account that needs to be used up? Don't burn cash, burn fat. New England Fat Loss accepts flex spending accounts. Start the new year losing the excess pounds and feeling great. Do you need to lose weight? Ask your doctor if they would recommend a plan with prepackaged foods, shakes, and puddings, or a real food program eating fresh, healthy food. This is science, not sales. If you're on the South Shore, set up a consult at New England Fat Loss's newest location in Lakeville.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, big boy and Maz Murray, you want to play along with this or no? It's your option.
Sure, why not?
I mean, I know you watched a lot of the games, so if you want to participate. Three up, three down from Wild Card Weekend. Three studs, three duds. Simple as that. Greg, your number one star from Wild Card Weekend.
Andrew Luck. I thought he was great. You know, that's a good defense. He tore him apart. I thought it was a great performance by Luck.
So I weighted the difficulty, the challenge of the task. I went Nick Foles number one. To me, Philly's win was the most impressive win of the weekend because they go into Chicago, tough environment, tough defense, all of that, and come out with a win with a touchdown at the end of the game to Golden Tate. I went Foles.
Andrew Luck, he wasn't rattled in that game at all, and he was so good on third down. And again, I don't think that they didn't pick up a third down, the Colts, until early in the third quarter of that game.
Okay, excellent. Second star.
Melvin Ingram. What the hell?
Why can't you say that word?
I don't know many Melvins, I guess. Melvin Ingram. He was just, that dude is a grown-ass man. He is a beast. The Patriots better block him or look out, Tom.
Frank Reich, Josh McDaniels, you never should have turned down that job. Never, never, never. Frank Reich wins the Super Bowl last year. Now he's turned around the Colts.
Amari Cooper, 7 receptions, 106 yards. He's been the difference, although Ezekiel Elliott does matter, but he's been the difference in the Cowboys offense.
Surprised you didn't go Elliott there. No. Excellent. You call him as you
see him. He wanted to.
Yeah, I know he does. No, but he's nothing if not fair. Third star there, Bedard.
Zeke. Offense.
Just killed my action there.
Well, I mean, the offense just runs through him. I mean,
that's why they suck.
I mean, I don't think they're any good, but if Brian Schottenheimer was a moron, the Seahawks would have won that game. But the way it was played, Zeke was important in that game.
Melvin Ingram, that guy's a force. He is a freaking he was awesome in the game at Kansas City, too, when they won there. He's a good player, man. I like him.
Nick Foles, I mean, the second interception was brutal, and I was hoping he was turning back into a pumpkin. But again, much like Andrew Luck, just so good on third down.
Okay, I'll give an honorable mention to Golden Tate because it feeds an agenda about the Josh Gordon thing here. Tate was the guy you should have went and got at the deadline. Three duds, the three bums from the weekend. Greg, in order. Number one, the number one bum from the weekend.
Lamar Jackson. He was terrible in that game. I mean, just not nearly good enough.
B-O-B boob. Bill O'Brien, number one. I still like him. I want to like him so badly, but that, good God, his playoff appearances have been a disaster.
It's Bill O'Brien. That team was completely inept from the first whistle. Down 14-0 just like that, 21-0 at halftime. Bill O'Brien. Look.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, good one. Yeah,
fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. You've got to. He's not just the biggest bum. He should be embarrassed. That's like a check yourself at the door sort of moment, but no, he's far, way too far past that, the fat dump. He can't attempt a long field goal attempt without straining a hamstring and making his team dropkick the rest of the night. That's embarrassing, dude. They should have made him take a bus home. You're not allowed on the plane. That is a joke. Sebastian Janikowski, you fat dump slob. You are an embarrassment. Second dud.
Related to that, Pete Carroll and John Schneider. Now, didn't Janikowski get hurt later in the season?
I didn't keep track of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah. I think he got hurt, and I think he might have been out a game or two. And they left it up to his health. Like, they should have signed another kicker. No one's talking about this, but I don't know why they left it up to his health, which wasn't 100%. There's no way you could leave it up to that. They should have had another kicker on the roster. It's their fault they were in that position at the end of the game.
So that's your number two, dud? I just making sure that wasn't a tangent.
No.
Okay. Number two, Lamar Jackson. He sucked. I mean, that's as bad as a quarterback game as you will see in the NFL ever.
I'm going with Brian Schottenheimer, and Greg mentioned it earlier. I said it yesterday, too. They completely game-planned Russell Wilson out of that game. They were run, obvious passing down, Russell Wilson, and he would, you know, get pressured or sack and be inaccurate. They didn't go to Russell Wilson until late in that game when it was almost too late. Brian Schottenheimer, that still has a job in this league, blows my mind.
Third dud.
I'll pass on Shotty, so he took care of it. I'm going to go with Jim Irsay for that dumbass locker room speech after the game. Are you kidding me? We could do better. 31 points. What is he talking about? Shut up and go back to your box.
Okay, so we haven't played it, but if you've seen it, it's Irsay.
Cody Parkey.
Yeah, how is this not
Cody
anyone's list?
Parkey, little Cody Parkey. Nice. What's the point of having a kicker if you can't make a kick? Even your name makes you sound like a little twerp for crying out loud. Like, six uprights he hit during the year. Cody Parkey.
Yeah, it's Cody Parkey. I don't care what the Zapruder film shows and a little bit of the defensive player of the Eagles touched the ball. Still, get loft on it. Make the kick, you bum.
Okay, you can weigh in on all that if you like. You can weigh in on Bedard's Patriots take so far, which is name one thing other than history or intangibles or the mystique that the Patriots have over the Chargers. Or home field, right? That intangible. Everything else, he says, goes to the Chargers. Two, I thought was a humdinger. Said basically the coaching advantage that you do have isn't as pronounced. He doesn't feel it's as pronounced as it would be in the past because he's lost a little bit of faith in the Patriots coaching off of last year's Super Bowl.
And the Super Bowl before. Last Super Bowl, couldn't stop the Eagles at all on offense. Didn't take out their go-to guy on third down, which used to be the Patriots' bread and butter. And the Super Bowl before, you fell behind 28-3.
Tack that on to the previous comment there, Jim. So we've got those on the board. We'll get to your calls, and we want to hit on Nick Saban and the championship game last night for just a few seconds when we come back. So don't go anywhere. It's a long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records. Rachel approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Clemson alert for fake. Bullivus from 40 yards, and it is a fake. And taking off is Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, and it's snuffed out. Niles Pinckney made the stop.
So that was one of the definitive plays from last night's college championship game. Clemson blows out Alabama. Maz wanted a few minutes on Nick Saban. What do you got, Maz?
Okay, so first of all, as you know, many of us, myself included, were rooting for Clemson last night. And the fact that it went the way it did, that they kicked the snot out of Alabama, kicked them right in the face. To me, the only thing more gratifying would have been if that were Gina Auriemma on the sideline for Alabama last night. But the fact that it was Saban was close enough. Birds of a feather, if you ask me. Huh. So Saban is asked after the game about the fake field goal and whether or not it was the right call. Okay, here's what he said.
I think it was a poor decision on my part not to kick the field goal. You know, the first drive of the second half, we thought we had a really, really good fake, and somebody didn't block the guy they were supposed to block, so it didn't work. So it was a bad call. Kay. It's always that way.
Okay, then three plays later, Clemson throws a 74-yard touchdown pass, right? And Saban said this.
We were in three deep zone when number five catches a ball and runs, you know, 50 yards, 60 yards for a touchdown. Guy doesn't play the deep third properly. So, you know, those responsibilities start with me, our staff, and all the coaches who try to get these guys ready. And when we don't play well, I feel like that's a reflection on the job that we did, the job that I did.
Okay. Sounds like he's taking accountability there in both of those comments, right?
It does, if you listen to it from afar.
Yeah. He's not the weasel, the little rat. Like, seriously, listen to him on the field goal play. Well, you know, we had a guy who didn't block somebody he was supposed to, but yeah, that one's on me. I mean, that's my fault. And what about the touchdown pass? Well, you know, I mean, you know, we covered number eight. The other guy, number five, ran down the field. We had a guy who didn't cover the middle of the field properly. But, you know, that one's on me. That's my... Shut up, you jerk. If you're not going to blame your players, don't blame your players.
Yeah, it's fake, like, accountability.
Oh, talk about a passive-aggressive little sneaky, weaselly way to pin it on someone else.
And especially...
You big jerk.
Especially on the fake field goal. Can we run the...
Okay, so Vinny, at NBC Sports Boston, if you can, we just have a still picture of the Clemson defensive alignment when the Crimson Tide lined up for that field goal.
Yeah, so that this clown can say after the game, someone missed a block. Look at the defensive alignment. You don't call that play there. And not only that, it wasn't a good play call that he's trying to sell it as after the fact, because the holder looks right at the sideline and goes, uh-huh, and nods his head like, here comes the fake, right, boss? Uh-huh, duh. Look at the defensive alignment. If we can show this thing, it's all stacked up. You can't run for a first down there, you idiot. Just kick the field goal.
I mean, I remember watching in real time.
Right, it's like, what the hell are you doing? Of course this isn't going to work.
The whole Clemson defense is standing up. They're standing up on the first down marker. And I guess we can't run the pitcher, but they're all standing up at the first down marker. And it's like, and I noticed the guy nod to the sideline.
They knew it was coming. They knew it was coming. And
Saban says someone missed a block.
Oh, please.
Oh my God, please. And the thing is, so this is where, like, you know, he and Belichick are always linked. You know, Belichick was asked about Saban yesterday. And this is where I give Bill credit. You know what Bill says on those things? We got to coach it better. We got to play it better.
So I agree with that, except Bill gets sensitive. Like, and I've said this about Belichick many times. It is stunning to me how the best of the best, which is what Belichick and Saban are, and how they are first ballot Hall of Famers, considered the greatest ever at what they've done. They're not just considered the greatest ever at what they've done. They probably are the greatest ever at what they've done. And everyone acknowledges it. They're still freaking sensitive to criticism and second guessing. And Bill does the exact same sort of crap. Not as bad as that, but he will, you know, when a successful play, yeah, you know, we worked on that on Friday. He's got to let you know. Gotta let you know. They've done entire NFL films,
you know, shows
sure.
on how we had it. And they have to let you know because there's that, I don't know, some root sort of insecurity or sensitivity or something.
Look at how smart I am.
Which is just so staggering when they are, you know, uniformly considered the greatest ever, and everyone tells them that. But they still...
Yeah, but in their minds, they become infallible. So how dare you question anything or my authority?
Oh, I just thought...
I loved that last night. And I don't really like Clemson all that much either, but that was delicious. That wasn't just for the national championship. That, like, alters college football. Like, it's Clemson and everybody else now. Alabama, I mean...
Okay, so we don't care about that. Yeah. How about that Clemson quarterback?
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, that kid's a stud.
So, Murray, you've got...
I just think, you know, just from the tools and the size, 6'5", 225, just how he throws mechanically, he looks like Peyton Manning, like how Peyton Manning looked in college. And he still has to wallow in college football for two more years. He can't be drafted till 2021. He's 19 years old. He looks like Mitch Kramer from Dazed and Confused. But that last touchdown he threw, like 5 yards out, he throws into triple coverage, but he puts the ball to where the receiver can only get it. The kid made a ridiculous throw. But that was in a tiny little window. That was an NFL-caliber throw.
That was. Murray's right about that play. That was a great play.
What stood out to me is he stood in there against the rush. Like, how many of those throws?
Right. He took a beating.
The guy, you know, the defenders were right on him, meaning the quarterback. His receivers got open. But, you know, especially on the one where the kid fell down. But on that play, even on that play, there's a blitzer nailing him. And on one of the touchdowns, a crosser over the middle, like, guys are nailing this. What's his name?
Campbell?
No. Trevor Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Yeah, the quarterback. Yeah. I don't know what his name is.
Same
I
could care Campbell less. Lawrence. Let's see.
College football. I don't.
Yeah, with the kid with the hair.
But yeah, the kid with the hair. Boy, did he stand in there against the rush? Is he an NFL? Is he an NFL future star, Greg?
No question. Next Patriots quarterback.
How are they going to do that unless they finish last?
Ah, that's why. Forget it.
Him and the kid at Georgia, I like them both. Like all these quarterbacks in the league.
Much better.
And there are more coming, for crying out loud. More coming.
Okay, so there you go. Those are our thoughts on last night's game. Back to your phones as promised. Ronnie in the car. What do you got, Ronnie?
Hey, how you doing, guys? So I just wanted to touch on the Patriots real quick about, you know, I've watched them since the 80s, okay? And I don't know why people don't realize the division's weak. This is going to be the best, one of the best teams they're facing, okay? It's not going to be easy. I hear these people say, oh, they're going to kill them, and they don't know anything about the sport.
I mean,
don't be surprised. I'm not surprised if they lose to the Chargers this Sunday.
Okay. I've got the Chargers, so I wouldn't be surprised one bit. But the Pats could blow them out. Like, I mean, and that's not me, you know, equivocating. It's just San Diego could come out here and play like San Diego, not Los Angeles. And I mean, of course that could happen. You can't rule out the Patriots. I would never write the Patriots off. I just don't think, you know, on top of the fact that the Chargers are a legit team, I don't think the Pats have established themselves as anything great all year long, Greg. And so, I mean, I just sort of, I was going to pick against the Patriots no matter who they played because I just don't believe in the Patriots. Is that wrong?
No. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, look, they're going to have to execute. I mean, who knows what's going to happen this weekend? I mean, you know, it should be a really good game, and it's going to go one way or the other. Who's going to make the play? Who's going to make the big mistake? I have no idea. I know, but you know, certainly there are things. If you're the Patriots, you would be encouraged that, like, I'm not a big fan of the Chargers' offensive line outside of the left tackle Okun. You know, other than that, their left guard Feeney. He stinks. He's terrible. And every team that plays them, that's basically the pass-rushing highway. So they're going to try to pass rush there. Pouncey, the center, is a shell of himself. And, you know, Schofield and Tevi, the other guys, you know, they're not that great either. So, I mean, the path for the Patriots, you know, winning are, you know, getting a lot of pressure and dominating up front against the Chargers.
Okay, so even though the Pats' defensive line has not been great shakes, you know, across the board, Flowers is obviously brilliant. And you love Lawrence Guy, but you still think that's a matchup advantage for the Patriots.
Well,
D-line versus San Diego.
I wouldn't say it's an advantage for them. I would say
it's an opening.
Yes, that would be the opening for their defense to do some things. And then the other thing I think that we're going to see this weekend, and nobody really talked about it from this past weekend, but it was apparent in the Ravens-Chargers game, the refs aren't calling anything in the secondary. I mean, the Ravens basically, like, tackled Keenan Allen, like, the whole game once he was in the slot. And the Patriots do well with that. You know, Gilmore is very handsy. J.C. Jackson is very handsy. I have a feeling we're going to see Jonathan Jones. He's that type of muck-it-up player. I mean, him or McCourty will probably take, you know, Keenan Allen when he's in the slot. But,
you know, the Patriots have been able to cover pretty well. So, you know, I think the path for the Patriots winning outside of a defensive score or special team score, and I do think that's a factor. I mean, I think Patterson, if he returns, has a chance to return a kick. I think they have a chance to they've been getting better on special teams. They can block one. But I think the other thing is, you know, them getting pressure up front and making it a low-scoring game. I think the lower scoring it is, I think it's better for the Patriots.
Boy, what a switch.
Yeah.
Huh? What a switch. That now they're in that spot. We continue with your calls for Greg Bedard. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials. Again, Josh McDaniels says he's staying in New England. You'll hear from him in his own words right here.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Hey, we would like to thank New England Fat Loss for partnering with us on our podcast.
And remember, they'll ship your online weight loss kit right to your door.